prayer attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. And where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, union. And where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. And where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
This is a day in which we celebrate the life of an Italian called Francis of Assisi, a little town in the middle of Italy. And he was born in the late 12th century, 1100s, and lived not a long life, but lived up into the 13th century, about, I think, maybe 1230 or 1240. He was a rather prosperous individual. His father had made some money as a merchant. And he got religion. And he decided, as he inherited his father's job and his work, and the future looked real good for him, but he gave it all away. And he became absolutely determined to imitate the ministry of Jesus. There had been a book that had been written about that time called the Imitatio Christi, the Imitation of Christ. We don't know that he read that book, but it certainly, his life seems as if he did. And the important thing that comes out of Francis, who was later canonized and became a saint in the Roman Catholic Church, and in our church too, what drew him to Jesus was not so much the good things in life, though that too, but what drew him to Jesus was that he saw in Jesus a quality that he didn't find in the ordinary people. And that quality was that Jesus was drawn to people in desperate need. Now, if you look at yourself, well, I'll look at myself. I'm kind of drawn to clean people, not dirty people. I'm drawn to healthy people, not sick people. I feel guilty saying this, but it's true. I'm more drawn to rich people than I am to poor people. And I think we can all understand that and see that. But Francis' spiritual life kept driving him to seek out the people who had desperate needs. He was drawn to the dirty leper. He was drawn to the blind. He was drawn to people whom today we would call mentally ill. He was drawn to people who felt rejected by the big part of humanity, like the woman taken in adultery was going to be stoned. And he tried very much to speak the truth to people, like the rich young man who came to him and said, "Sir, I want to be like you." And he says, "Well, what have you done?" He says, "I've kept all the commandments." He said, "Well, that's good. But there's one thing you lack." Because he wanted Jesus, this wasn't a rule for everybody, but he wanted people who wanted to come and walk with Jesus and do ministry like Jesus. You need to get rid of all your earthly things. And so he spoke the truth, but in love, as St. Paul says. Sometimes the truth is brutal. But if you can speak the truth in love, it may bring about healing with a person's life.
And so he told the man, go and get rid of everything that you've got and come and follow me. And the man couldn't do it. So Jesus was drawn to people in deep need. And Francis imitated that very much in his life. And he only ate what people left for him. And he went out into the wilderness and spent time in prayer and adoration. Had very few clothes. They were mostly shabby. And he realized that where the gospel that was read to us today, when the king said, inasmuch as you have done it unto the one of the least of these, it's just as if you have done it to me. And that's what he saw in the personality of Jesus, who sought out these people who were needy. Now, the interesting thing about this, when we look at it more carefully, this is not so much loving people for what you can get out of it. And those of you who've been through the doctorate know this in spades, in that the New Testament writers began to coin a word that was known in the Greek language, but it wasn't used very much. It's called agape. And there are other words for love, but these are other words. Generally, it's sort of, you love something for what it means to you, what benefits you. On a hot July day, I like to love a Budweiser. This is the type of love that they saw in Jesus, because he would seek out the peace of people who had the greatest need, the leper. And all of the ones like that who are the rejected of the world. And to give yourself to them in order to meet their need with no thought of what the consequences were for you, that's agape. And that's what Francis saw in Jesus and drew him toward Jesus, the power of that kind of love. Now, there's not anything wrong with loving a Budweiser on a hot July day. I hope not. But in a way, something deeper than that spiritually is for us to be able to give of ourselves to a person who is in need, but who can give you nothing. And not only did we do that with people, and then this is what Francis is so known for. That's why you find little statues where there may be a little bird on his shoulder or something like that. Francis began to look at the whole world in an agape sort of way of appreciating what God has given us in the world of nature. Today at 4 o'clock, we bless the animals, the people who bring them here, because Francis, in a way, tried to imitate something that he saw in Jesus of that kind of agape love, to somehow or another reverence the world and what the world can do for you and give to you and be grateful for. Sometimes we need to care for the animals of the world because they're so vulnerable. Most of us cannot drive down What's the road that goes down 25? Well,
Old Fan Road.
Well, when we first moved out here 28 years ago, there wasn't anything on there but trees. Dark and Lynn came home one winter night when it was dark on Old Fannin Road and hit a deer. But the deer wasn't dead. And she stopped the car. And there was a man in a truck behind him, and then said, I don't know what I can do. The man said, the deer is going to die. He's obviously got a broken back here with what your car did. And I'm sure Lynn burst into tears. And the man went and got a pistol and came and shot the deer to put him out of his miseries. These animals that surround us are so vulnerable. We've got this little puppy dog, Nathaniel, who was born with a terrible back, a very fragile back. In this one past year, he's had two surgeries on the back and one near surgery. Three times he's been taken to Starkville to the vet and trembling and screaming all the way in pain. And the vulnerability of these animals calls us to do what St. Francis found in Jesus, to give yourself without counting the cost and without looking for any kind of reward, but to care for them. And I think that's why he is noted in his sainthood for a person who reveres everything that's in the world. And yet Francis would also could say, I can rejoice in the world because the world can and does add a great deal to us. We're loaded with birds all around here. And you can hear them sing. I can't recognize, I don't know the names of the birds, but I can say, well, I know what that bird is. And I've learned to recognize a dove. It's such a haunting sound that a dove makes. And a mockingbird just goes all over the world. I think Beethoven one moment and hard rock jazz. And Francis took that in and was grateful to God for giving us these gifts. And so nature tends to feed us. And yet, and this is to me one of the hardest things, and I don't know how to answer this. We have to kill in order to eat. I went to seminary and I went to the University of Chicago too. And there you have these huge meat houses. And all during the last century, the 19th century, the cattle herds were driven and then put on railroads and up to Chicago to where, and I've been to one of them. And I kind of think people that hate eating a steak just as if it's, you have a right to it. You don't have a right to it. That cow has to die for you to get a steak. And they would hang the cow upside down by the back legs and first of all take like a baseball bat and hit him unconscious and then cut his throat. I don't know why life is like that. I think the older I get and the more vulnerable I see nature and the animals in nature, the more I have difficulty in doing that. I'm not going to become a vegetarian, I don't think. And 20 years ago, I used to take great pride in killing ducks and doves. And we got two mallards now that I don't think had any babies this spring. And they've kind of adopted our backyard. And I'm sad to say, they've adopted our swimming pool. And they leave us all kinds of little mementos. Tell us, thank you, we've been in your pool. But I can't, Lynn cooks the best ducks. That's so good. And we're reduced now to waiting for somebody to bring the ducks. They go kill the ducks. I can't do it anymore. But I could make myself do it, I think. And these little animals that we will bless at 4 o'clock, somehow or another they give a gift to us. But I think that we've got to be mindful that most of the gifts that nature gives to us require a sacrifice on the part of nature. The animal must die. that we may eat.
I remember, I'm going to read you in closing a little poem called The Sacrament of Fire. I remember when I first read this, I was in seminary. And my first wife lived in southern Arkansas. And we would go home Christmas time, and everybody would go out and cut a little pine tree about this tall. And we would just go out there with the saw and cut it down and take it home, not give it much salt. It's just a tree. But this poem that I'm going to read you was so I was impressed so with it that I stopped my wife, and here we there with an axe and a saw, and I said, "Mary, this tree has got to die for us to have it as you live in it, with lights on it to bring joy into our life." Now the poem. Kneel always when you light a fire. Kneel reverently and grateful be to God for His unfailing charity. Because within this wood that lived a joyous life, through sunny days and rainy days and winter storms and strife, within the peat that drank the moorland sweet of bracken wine and sweet bell feather, and all the joy of good gorse feather, flamed like love in winterous weather, while snow below the cold, in the ground, in sun and snow, peat in the earth heard the beat of the padding feet above, of foe and dam, and ewe and lamb, and the stamp of old bellwether. Within that hole, where forests lie entombed, oak, elm, chestnut, beech, and red pine gold, God has enshrined His sunshine, and in womb for you these stores of light and heat, for your life joys to complete. These, listen to this, these all have died that you might live. Yours now the high prerogative to loose their long captivities, to give them new sweet span of life and fresh activities. So kneel always when you light a fire. Kneel reverently and grateful be to God for His unfailing charity. Old men tend to cry.